We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
An emotional Paul Maneri after last night's 15-6 loss, bouncing them from college baseball, a super regional against Tennessee. Ben McDonald, former LSU and MLB pitcher, SEC Network baseball analyst, and Ben, there's not too many men that would be willing to make themselves that vulnerable, and Paul Maneri's always been an emotional guy, wears his emotions on his sleeves. That doesn't surprise me at all that kind of emotion was coming out from him.
No, I mean, look, it 39 years, and the man has slept, ate, and breathed baseball since he's been 5 years old. And when reality sets in, and it does for all of us, trust me, I mean, I've played – the game will pass us all by. The game of baseball was here before Paul Maneri. It'll be here after Paul Maneri. It'll do the same for everybody that's ever been a part of it, you know. But when reality sets in, and look, I was the same way. When reality sets in that you no longer can be a part of it, it becomes very emotional, very, very emotional. And that's what Paul Maneri has put his life into it, you know. And, you know, the humble starts of his and where he came from and where he ended up. And he's always said LSU was a dream job of his, you know, and all he wanted to do was make Skip Berkman proud. That's all he ever wanted to do. And he did that, you know. And so I don't feel sorrow. I wish it would have ended better for Paul Maneri. I really do. And a bunch of kids that tried really hard. But look, this man achieved a lot. And, you know, you went over 1,500 games, the seventh most winningest coach in the history of our game, and one of only five to win 1,500 games and a national championship. He did a hell of a job. And what I said about Paul Maneri, I said it on Twitter the other day, is that he did it the right way. He did it with class. And you never heard about LSU getting in trouble, you know, as far as recruiting or any of that kind of stuff. He ran a top-notch, classy-type program, and that's what you want at LSU. Because, look, we all know the job at LSU is different than most. You got to be able to walk around and kiss the babies and hug the people, and you got to be able to get in front of a microphone. You got to talk at the L Club and all these things. You got to be able to do all that. And, oh, by the way, you got to be a coach, too, and you got to win ball games. You got to do all those things. And so Paul did it well. And so I only wish the best for Paul Maneri. He's an outstanding guy. Outstanding family, and I'm happy to see him walk away, and I know he's going to do some wonderful things and get to do some things he hadn't got to do in a long time.
Ben, going back to game one against Tennessee, they pulled Mikhail Hilliard and the game got away from him a little bit. Do you agree with the decision to pull Mikhail when they pulled him?
Well, I mean, looking back on it, it's easy to say, right?
Sure.
Well, we should have taken him out, and that's the great thing about being Monday morning quarterback. And you know, I don't know. You know, Mikhail threw twice in the regional. I don't know where his arm status was. I don't know how he felt. I don't know what Paul thought of. I mean, those are all the things that we don't know. Looking back on it, yeah, I mean, we should have probably left him in. But if the young man coming in would have pitched like he did in the regional, nobody would have said anything. But we didn't have that kind of success, you know. But, look, looking back on their season, this is kind of what you got from LSU. You saw spurts of them being really good, but then you saw spurts of that pitching staff not being very good out of the bullpen. And unfortunately, it kind of backfired there, you know, a little bit in game two. But LSU had their chances in game one, as you mentioned. And look, they were right there, just couldn't come up with a big base hit and a defensive misfortune. And so LSU played it really tough in game one, and game two quickly got out of hand.
Yeah, and look, Mikhail Hilliard threw over 140 pitches in the span of a week. So you got to be mindful of that if you're Paul Maneri. You don't want a guy's arm exploding on the mound in a college game in particular.
Absolutely, and maybe that had something to do with the decision. And, Paul, look, while LSU's had its injuries, Jaden Hill, and you can go down the line, there's been some injuries in the last two or three years, and You know, I think Paul has done a wonderful job of trying to keep his guys healthy and put them in the best situation to succeed. He's taking care of his guys, because when you have a program like LSU and you get top-notch talent in there, you got to be able to show everybody year in and year out you're going to take care of guys. Because if you don't take care of your guys, then you're not going to get the next big recruit to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that mom and dad watching and seeing a kid, you know, or a program that constantly over-pitches kids, they're not sending their son there, that's for sure.
No. That, you know, look, that's why Tim Corbin at Vanderbilt has got Kumar Rocker right now, and he's got Jack Leiter, and he had Tyler Beattie and Carson Fulmer. And you go on down the line of his 16 first-round draft picks, it's because he takes care of them, right? He does it the right way. Now, it always helps when you got a team full of them, you know, and Corbin's sure. got a team full of them every year, so he ain't got to ride one horse because he's got a whole stable of Clydesdales in there, you know? And so, yeah, it's easier to manage that, you know, I get it, but you got to take care of your arms these days, because if you don't, you hit the nail on the head. Mom and dad is sitting back and watching. They got little Johnny, who's a 10th grader right now, and he's trying to decide where he wants to go to school. And if some coach is wearing out some arms out there, I could promise you that's where they're not going to go.
Yeah, and I'm getting off track here for a second, Ben, but you've been through the travel ball experience. I have too, and I get frustrated with the whole idea where a lot of these governing bodies pay attention to innings pitched instead of pitches thrown, and it drives me crazy. It drives me nuts because I pay attention to pitches.
It's a travesty. It's a travesty because those people are showing you they have no clue at all about pitching, and that's what it boils down to. And I hate to be frank about it, but that's the truth. When people start talking about innings pitch, it just tells me they don't have a clue of how to take care of somebody. And it should be about how many pitches you throw, not how many innings you throw. And we all know that. And so that's why that rule needs to be changed. And look, I went through it with my kids. I coached travel ball, you know, all the way through and all the way up to the highest level you can coach it. But I've always said that about travel ball. They got it wrong. It's not about innings pitch. It's about how many pitches and how many innings you accumulate along the way.
Ben McDonald, former LSU and MLB pitcher, SEC Network baseball analyst here on Sports Talk. We'll get back on track here, Ben. So where does LSU go now with their coaching search, with Pat Casey apparently pulling his name out of the hat, and Kevin O'Sullivan from Florida also removing his name from consideration? Are they trying to make a big play for Corbin up there in Vanderbilt?
You know, I haven't heard Corbs' name mentioned through the grapevine. I really haven't. I don't think Corbs would leave Vanderbilt. That's my opinion. I think he has a pretty good thing going there. Not only are they winning, but, you know, they got a little bit of an advantage going on with the scholarship thing and, you know, the way they can get guys on campus right now. So I don't ever see Corbs leaving. But I love Corbs to death, and he's a hell of a coach. I think he's one of the most prepared and best coach out there. But I don't know that he's a fit for LSU, in my opinion. You know, when O'Sullivan took his name out of the hat or whatever happened on that deal, I thought O'Sullivan would have been a hell of a pickup for LSU. But evidently there's some other things going on, so he takes his name out of the hat. You know, Casey, you know, I love him too. I don't know that much about him, but obviously the record speaks for itself. You win 3 national titles up in the Northwest, you're doing something. But you wonder how he would fit in down in the Southeast, down here, and understanding the culture of the Southeast down here. So I wasn't surprised that didn't pan out. So for me, you know, from what I'm hearing, it's down to Cliff Godwin, who I love over at ECU right now, and Mike Bianco, who I really dearly love because he was my former catcher at Ole Miss right now. And I think you couldn't go wrong with either one of those guys. Cliff Godwin is a guy that has all the experience, as you know. I mean, he was an assistant coach at Notre Dame. He was assistant coach at LSU for 3 years. He was at Vanderbilt for a year. He was at Ole Miss for 4 years, including 2014 when they went to the College World Series, and he was a big part of that 2014 Rebel team. That went to the College World Series. So I think he's a wonderful fit. If you're looking for a young guy, he may be your guy. You know, now, Mike Bianco, what a story that would be. I mean, maybe ends his career where it all began in an LSU uniform many years ago. And Mike is very good in front of a microphone. He knows how to fundraise. He knows how to build things. You see what he's built in Ole Miss, and I think he'd be a terrific fit for LSU as well. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other stuff going on that we don't know about, but those are the names that I've heard most is O'Sullivan and Casey and Bianco and, of course, Cliff Godwin.
Whoever it is, Ben, is going to inherit a boatload of talented young baseball players, a really young team that now has some experience, and just about everybody in the lineup should be back. I think maybe even Gavin Dugas might return. And you got all those young arms. Pitching is going to be where – they're going to have to figure some things out, but they've got the talent there for sure. So whoever inherits this team, the cupboard isn't bare, that's for sure.
No, you're right. I mean, it's not going to be a rebuild. It's going to be a reload is what it's going to be, because from my understanding, it's Nolan Kane, who has done an outstanding job for LSU getting talent on campus, is bringing in right now, I think projection is the number two recruiting class he's bringing in on campus. So you're going to take the number one recruiting class that's on campus right now, and you're going to bring in the number two recruiting class in the country right behind it, you know. And don't forget, the key to this is whoever comes in, because of the – you don't have to sit out a year with the transfer stuff. Like, whoever the coach is that comes in, there's nothing stopping him from bringing maybe his best one or two players on his roster right now that doesn't have to sit out. They can come right to Baton Rouge. Or he could take maybe his recruiting class and reach out to these high school seniors right now and say, hey, I'm going to be going over to Baton Rouge and be wearing that purple and gold. Love for you to join me over there. And nothing would stop him from bringing a couple of those guys over as well. So I think it's important to pick a coach that has some big-time recruits coming in and some big-time players, because nothing is stopping that coach right now from bringing some guys with him. And LSU could certainly go from a team that was a bubble-type team this year to a team that could be a top-8 national seed next year.
A lot of coaches like to bring in their own staff, but you mentioned the recruiting prowess of Nolan Kane. Do you think that the next head coach should consider keeping him because of how well he's recruited?
I would. I mean, if I was taking over the job, I would keep Nolan Kane on in some capacity, because, I mean, you go back and look at what he's done over the years. I mean, just go back 3 years ago, this Landon Marceau class was the number one recruit class in the country. Now, it didn't pan out in some ways because, obviously, Jaden Hill got hurt and didn't pitch much for LSU. Cole Henry left last year. You know, after his sophomore year, he was gone. You know, Easton McMurray was a big part of that. He's gone. And so it didn't pan out, but it was the number one recruiting class by D1 baseball and everybody else, and so is this year's class. So that's the number one class two of the last 3 years, and he's bringing in a really good class as well next year. So Nolan Kane knows the ins and outs, and he's done an outstanding job for LSU. So he'd be a guy that I would certainly think about, especially if I was a guy coming from out of town, not knowing the ropes around Louisiana, not knowing the ropes in the SEC. I would keep some ties to this coaching staff for sure.
Ben McDonald, former LSU and MLB pitcher, SEC Network baseball analyst. How stunned were you by Arkansas getting bounced?
That was a shocker. Look, Arkansas, I mean, NC State did something nobody else has been able to do all year long, and that's beat Arkansas on a weekend. You know, I mean, they won every SEC weekend. They went 10-for-10. Nobody beat them in the toughest division of all of college baseball. They didn't lose before that in the pre-SEC schedule, but yet, you know, NC State found a way to do it. So it was a shocker to see that happen. That offense that had been so good all year long just didn't score runs there toward the end, you know. And Kevin Copps has put together one of the best college seasons I've ever seen for a pitcher. I mean, to have double digits in wins and double digits in saves, he gets his first start yesterday, and yeah, he gave up a home run late, but you don't want to talk about pitches and how many pitches he's thrown lately. And in the latter part of the season, it's an astronomical number. You know, it's a scary number in a lot of ways. But this dude, you know, he gave up a home run late. He still only gets up, I think it was, 3 runs, you know. And so I hate that for Arkansas. I thought they were the best team in the country. But it makes baseball – that's why baseball is the greatest game in the world, man. You just don't never know. When you line them up every day, something weird could happen. And NC State is a solid team. But day in and day out, they're not going to beat Arkansas, but yet they found a way to do it 2 out of 3.
Would you consider, if you were Scott Woodward, Dave Van Horn from Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, look, you would have to. I mean, look, how many College World Series has he been to? Now, people are going to say, well, the knock on him is he never won one. Yeah, I get that, you know. And look, it's hard to win one. It really is. But Dave Van Horn's done a hell of a job. And, you know, the question is where do you want to go? Do you want the youth coach in it, or do you want more of a lot more of experience and guys that's been around? And for me, if I'm changing coaches at LSU, and obviously, you know, we are, I like a younger guy. I like a guy that's going to be there, a guy I can count on for 10 years, 15 years. I want a guy that's going to be there for a long time, you know. And so I don't know. I would definitely consider Van Horn. I don't think Van Horn leaves Arkansas because he's built that program there. But he could. But I've not heard his name either. I've not heard Corbin's name mentioned that much either, but it could be some stuff going on, you know, underneath the radar. Because if you know anything about Scott Woodward is that he ain't scared to make a splash, you know. And all that proof was is all you got to say is Kim Mulkey as far as that goes, you know. And so I think it's a slow process, and they're going to do it the right way. They're going to bring some people in. They're going to interview them, and they're just going to figure out what's the best fit for LSU baseball. And LSU baseball is a program that, for me, you know, has been a little bit on the decline the last 3 or 4 years, you know, and LSU baseball deserves better than that. It needs to be on the incline. It needs to be going up. It needs to be towards the top and leading the way in the SEC and leading the way in the country. And I think it's got a good chance of whoever they bring in here. It may take a year, but I think they're going to get this program turned around to where instead of going to a super regional, and it ended up being a nice year for LSU. There's no doubt about that. But we should be hosting super regionals, not being on the road for regionals, and not being on the road for super regionals.
Would you at all say that this team overachieved? Would it be fair to say that this LSU baseball team overachieved this year, considering how they played in the SEC?
Well, I think they overachieved in the regional. You know, you could say that. If you look at their full body of work, I think they underachieved. I mean, if you look at their full schedule and what they did in the SEC and what the projections were when the season began, they were a top 10 team preseason. I think they underachieved. Now, when the regionals hit, look, it was a big-time showing. They showed up over, you know, in Oregon and played really, really well in Eugene. And we saw a team that, you know, the relief pitching, all you got to do is go to the relief pitching. Look what the relief pitching did in the regional versus what it did for most of the year. And the relief pitching really showed up well, you know. And so it was a team that I thought would do better than what it did. It had some injuries along the way, like a lot of teams did. It was a disappointing year, as far as I'm concerned, for LSU overall. Now, I'm happy where they ended up. I thought the super regional was really nice, and they had a shot there. But, again, I think the goal for LSU is not to be in a regional and not to be in a super regional. The goal for LSU is to be hosting regionals and hosting super regionals and making it to the College World Series.
Ben McDonald, former LSU Tiger, Major League Baseball pitcher, SEC Network baseball analyst. Ben, always appreciate the insight and the time. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.